Good morning, TNC family. On the second Sunday in September, where today here we start a series called Lost Words, about words we need to recover the best definition of, and how, if we do, on the foundation of the scriptures and the presence of God in the world today, we can experience a life of greater peace and purpose and joy. And the word I want to talk with you about today is stop. A word that feels lost to me in our day, because stop? Are you kidding? We won't stop for much of anything in our day. Rather, we keep on eating and see bad health outcomes. We keep on drinking, damaging our relationships and livers and so on. We keep on spending and are more in debt than ever. We keep holding the grudge and go through life as a bitter victim. We keep on bailing on jobs and projects and goals. We keep watching episode after episode. Just one more episode. Make that two, and then I'll go to bed. Even the eight-sided stop sign. Nah, nice suggestion. I'm rolling on through it. But listen, TNC. If you are ready to move your life forward in the way of Jesus, it will require that you stop doing certain things, thinking certain ways, running in certain directions, and then begin moving in another direction, in the way of God's kingdom and calling on your life. Jesus refers to this idea in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, when he says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow, can look back and experience the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying old things and old ways have got to stop. You have to embrace a new way. This is what Paul writes about to the church at Philippi, chapter 3. "One thing I do," he says, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal of the high calling of Christ Jesus." And to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, he says, "With regard to your former ways, put off your old self and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Stop going one way and head the other way." Stop. This is the word I believe God's Spirit wants to whisper or maybe shout out to some of us in our day. And for those of you who know the story of Jonah in the scriptures, it is the classic story of this, because in the story, Jonah is running the wrong way, and God finally has to say, "Stop." It's a really fun story, too, because it is filled with hyperbolic language, exaggeration for effect. For example, it uses the word "big" 14 times in 48 verses. There's a huge city and a huge wind, a huge storm, sailors who are hugely afraid, men who hugely fear the Lord, a huge fish, and on. It's also a story that uses a lot of personification. There's a ship that threatens to break up and a sea that stops its rage and animals who decide to fast and then cover themselves with sackcloth. And it's a story that actually Jonah tells about himself. Even if he isn't the one who wrote it down, he is the one who's ultimately telling the story about himself, because much of the story is about what he thinks and does when he's alone. So he's telling the story of a huge era in his life when he's running from God and God tells him to stop. And he's telling it after the fact, obviously. He's not live tweeting it, which means the story we have is Jonah's story and perspective after the events. And I just mentioned that because it's important to remember that your perspective when you tell a story at the end of the story will be different than if you tell it right in the middle, which is a little sidebar of wisdom here for any of us who are in the middle of something in our lives, middle of a job transition, middle of a season of loneliness, middle of a breakup, a challenge, a conflict, a project, raising kids, reducing debt, overcoming grief, confusion, uncertainty, worry, fear. Are any of you in the middle of anything these days? Because Jonah would tell you, hey, be careful that you don't form conclusive opinions or make conclusive statements about your story before it's over, because your story is not over. Because Jonah changes his own interpretation of his story when he waits till the end to tell it. I'll show you what I mean. Chapter 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, 'Get up, go to the big city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed the other way to Tarshish. This is how he describes it in retrospect. I ran away, he said. But at the time, I don't think Jonah probably saw it as running. At the time that he was running, I bet if you had asked him in real time, I think he would have said, well, yeah, I did feel God calling me to go to the big city, but then I decided to take the spirit of what God was prompting me to do. You know, tweak it for my situation. Maybe just go to the big city in my prayer life. Yeah. I mean, God doesn't actually need me to go to Nineveh. Plus, to risk that kind of thing in the season of life I'm in, I have family here to look after. Truth is, I can honor God without specifically following him. Plus, God loves a cheerful giver. So if I can't go cheerfully to the big city, then God probably doesn't want me to go there anyway. So Jonah goes to a port city called Joppa. He finds a ship for Tarshish, which is the opposite direction, pays the fare, gets on the ship, and he's on his way to Tarshish, moving in the wrong direction when God says, stop. And he says it through a huge storm. Verse 4, such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Verse 6, finally the captain went to Jonah, who was sleeping, read, content to go the wrong way, and said, how can you sleep, Jonah? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. And Jonah responds, this is not one of those times where I really need to pray. I know exactly what's going on. Verse 12, just pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this huge storm has come upon us. And now we see, by the way, from the perspective of the shipmates, that they also are called to stop in this story. Stop traveling with Jonah. At which point, there's great wisdom for us because some of you, TNC, are going through a storm not because of what you're doing, but because of who you have on your boat. And you need to follow the counsel that Jonah's friends receive. You know, throw Jonah off your boat. Delete Jonah from your phone. Defriend Jonah from your Facebook page. Block Jonah from your Instagram. Take Jonah out of your wallet. Clear Jonah off your calendar. Extract Jonah from the cupboard. Remove Jonah from your cable package. Cancel your subscription to Jonah. Throw Jonah off your boat. Stop sailing with Jonah. Okay, back to the story about God saying stop to Jonah, because he sends a huge stop sign in the form of a storm. And most of you know at this point that Jonah does go overboard. He gasps for air. He starts to sink. And at some point, the text says, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And there's no need to debate how the whale ate Jonah or if the whale ate Jonah, because the literalness of it has nothing to do with the story. But the text says that Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights, which is a biblical way of saying God made Jonah stop, pause, reflect, consider, evaluate the direction he was heading in. At which point now, I want to pause and ask you, where might the wisdom of the scriptures and the whisper of God be saying to you, stop, change directions? And now let me suggest just a few possibilities to get us to start to think about this. Number one, stop fighting battles you can't win. I mean, imagine a game, a table game, maybe, in which you knew the outcome was an inevitable loss. You likely would never participate. Or imagine signing up for a dating app in which you knew the outcome was you'll never meet anyone with this app. You probably would never pay for that app. But in real life, too often, we do enter battles and fight battles we can't win. Like, here's a battle you'll never win. Worrying about people and things that you cannot control. Here's another battle you'll never win. Living in the past. Because quite literally, it's in the past. And while it is healthy and normal to engage in self-reflection, to grieve or celebrate something from the past, to learn from the past, there is a difference between being reflective or nostalgic about it and becoming consumed and obsessed with the past. Here's some other battles you'll never win. Letting other people define you while your value and self-worth. Shopping your way to self-esteem. Arguing with fools. Which means almost the most important single practice in your life for moving towards peace and joy and purpose would be to learn to differentiate between, hey, this is something I can change, and that's something I can't. There's a battle I can win, there's a battle I can't win. And then refusing to fight battles you can't win. Stop fighting battles you can't win. Number two, here's a second, stop. Stop thinking life is a linear ascent into perfection. There's nothing I've ever done in my life, TNC, that turned out to be that day one was the hardest, after which each progressive day just got easier and easier and easier. In fact, think about it. On day one of any great endeavor, there's almost always great motivation and glory and want to. Great vision and optimism and promise. Yes, I'm going to take the hill, run the marathon, lose the weight, be a millionaire. Yeah, here I go. Day one's important because motivation gets you going, but I'll tell you, discipline is what keeps you growing because most things worthwhile in life, they're just going to take time to grow and achieve and experience the blessing of. It's just absolutely true that mostly life is some version of two steps forward, one step back. A good day, an average day, a good day, oops, that was a bad day, start again. Tread water day, another good day, another average day. Okay, another good day, not a good day. This is the cycle. And it just turns out that most of the time that if you're on the right course and if you don't bail, if you stay faithful, even on the setback days, just keep at it, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. But it's not going to always be all up and to the right. And so we have to stop thinking it will be and getting derailed so easily and instead fall in love with words like, here I go again, I'm going to be faithful, persevere. Because life is not a linear ascent into perfection, which leads to a third, stop. Number three, stop living like you always know best. Ask more questions. Let people who are wiser than you show you the way forward. Listen more than you talk. Instead of trying to make your case, try to understand theirs. Be open to experimenting with another person's wisdom. Listen to this. Assume that your political opinion, your cultural opinion, your religious opinion, it might be wrong. That's right, who you want to vote for might be wrong. Just assume for a moment. You might be wrong about the person, or about that cultural solution, or about your position on God. Let me challenge you with the words of author, teacher, Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor in her memoir of faith. She writes, "I have learned to prize holy ignorance more highly than religious certainty, and to seek companions in my life who have come to the same conclusion." And if we should be that humble about God, we should be that humble about everything in our lives, TNC. Jesus put it like this, new wine must be put in new wineskins. Implication, there will be new wine. And so we must embrace an attitude of humility and growth and stop living like we already know what's best. Number four, a fourth stop we need to reclaim. Stop underestimating the power of inner work. Jesus described it in Matthew 7 as the law of the tree. What goes on inside of you determines what gets produced outside. Loving people on the outside are simply the kind of people who tend to have loving thoughts and feelings and perceptions on the inside. Angry people on the outside are simply the kind of people who tend to think bitter, resentment-producing thoughts on the inside. People who say unkind things on the outside, nasty things, bullying things, have nasty, unkind, bullying hearts. Or to quote Jesus from Luke chapter 6, out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth speaks. Nothing is more important than developing life routines, TNC. Solitude, prayer, exercise, worship, serving, systematic generosity, things that will shape your heart. What is your exercise routine for your heart? For your soul. Stop underestimating the power of inner work. And finally, number five, these are just five stop signs that get us thinking about where it might be we need to stop. Number five, a fifth stop we need to reclaim. Stop waiting on God. And instead, take a step of faith, take a step of trust, take a step of surrender, because sometimes especially surrounding conversations about faith and spirituality, we develop a kind of passivity that actually keeps us from becoming the people and living the lives God wants us to live. Now, in the Bible, that phrase, wait on the Lord, yes, it does appear, but ironically, what it means is to put your trust in God, to surrender, to actually putting God's wisdom into practice. I think about Jesus' parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, about three men, two of whom get praised because they take what they've been given, they seize the initiative, they are curious and creative and action-oriented, and there's a great return on their investment. But there's this third guy, and he's passive, and he's going to wait on the Lord. He's going to wait on the master. He buries the talent in the ground, and Jesus' words to describe him in the text, wicked and lazy. Which means the idea of being passive as a way to find God's will for your life is simply wrong. It's not scriptural, which means our question is, what's an area in your life that you've been putting off taking action? Well, you've just been too passive, but maybe today you could take one single step and ask God to meet you in it. Maybe it's in the care of your body. Maybe it's in how you feed your mind. Maybe it's in reaching out to another person and serving them. Maybe you've been sort of letting your finances slide backwards. And today's the day you stop letting them go backwards. I don't know what the area is, but there will be some area where the invitation today is where you take one step. And so these are just five examples of where we might need to recover that word stop. Stop fighting battles you can't win. Stop thinking life is a linear ascent into perfection. Stop living like you always know best. Stop underestimating the power of inner work. Stop waiting on God. And you'll have your own additions or edits to these. But the point is today, if you're ready to move your life forward in the way of Jesus, it will require that you stop doing certain things, thinking certain ways, running in certain directions, and then begin moving in another direction in the way of God's kingdom and calling on your life. And by the way, finally, Jonah does stop running and he does go to the big city. And you can read all about what happens when he does, chapters 3 and 4, when he stops sailing the wrong way and hitches a ride back to the big city. But your question today and my question today is, where do I need to stop and say goodbye to the old way so that I'm increasingly able to pursue the life of purpose and joy that God offers? Will you pray with me? God, I pray for every person listening now. I pray that we would embrace the truth of Jesus' call, the invitation to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God, may we come to you, pause, reflect, ask, learn, and may we find the rest and the motivation to stop where we need to stop and move where we need to move, because we do want to experience the truth of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, for in Christ the old is gone and the new has come. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that he'd make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that he'd turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.